Mary and Martha were good friends of Jesus. They knew him, they liked him, and trusted him too, or so they thought, until one day, quite suddenly, life became difficult, stressful, and fraught. Their brother, called Lazarus, who also knew Jesus, was sick. And no matter how anyone tried, he just got sicker and weaker and paler and iller until, very sadly, poor Lazarus died. Mary and Martha were good friends of Jesus. They had sent a message to ask him to come, but he didn't. And now they could not understand what had happened. They felt sad, they felt mad, they felt numb. Jesus, meanwhile, was with his disciples, walking and talking to people about God. Talking was dangerous, risky, and troublesome. The people in charge thought this Jesus was odd. Mary and Martha were good friends of Jesus. A message arrived. Their brother was sick. The disciples got ready. Jesus would heal him. They just knew it, but they'd need to get there pretty quick. Jesus looked at the messenger, then the disciples. "No, let us wait. The time's not quite right. Another few days and then we'll get moving. Trust me, I know what I'm doing, all right?" The disciples cried to their master, "Time passed, and Jesus continued his talking, his walking, and stirring up trouble. And then, all quite suddenly, now was the right time to head out to Bethany, quick, at the double."
"But Lord, are you mad? That road leads to the city. We cannot go there without causing a riot. The people there want to stone you to death. We cannot go back and expect peace and quiet."
"Trust me. I know what I'm doing," said Jesus. "Trust me, for now is the right time to go. Lazarus sleeps, and it's my job to wake him. Now is the time to see people's faith grow." So they went, and when they arrived in Bethany, Lazarus wasn't alive anymore. He had died. It was finished. And sadness was everywhere. When the sisters saw Jesus, they fell to the floor.
"But Lord,"
sobbed the sisters, first Mary, then Martha,
"if you had been here, he would not have died. You would have healed him, and life would be happy now. We could not save him, however hard we tried."
"Trust me, I know what I'm doing," said Jesus. "Trust me, for I can bring life to the dead. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? Your brother will live. You'll be joyful instead." Now, Mary and Martha were cautious and cagey. How could what Jesus was saying be true? Could Lazarus really be raised back to life? How could Jesus do what he said he would do? As he spoke and he watched as his friends cried in turmoil, Jesus broke down and he wept with them too. "Take me to Lazarus," he said to the sisters. "Please show me where you have buried my friend." "Trust me, I know what I'm doing," said Jesus. "All will be well for you all in the end."
"But Lord, he will stink. He's been dead for 4 days. If we roll back the stone, we'll be quite overcome. He'll look awful. And actually, yes, while you're at it, he will pong, he will whiff, he will smell, he will hum,"
said Jesus. "Let your will be done now, Father. When I pray, I trust you to hear. Lazarus, come out," he cried in a great voice. "Lazarus, wake up. Your sisters are here." A creak, then a rustle, stretch, and a groan. Could this be happening? Could this be real? Then out of the tomb came a dead man, now walking. Lazarus lives. This was crazy, surreal. Jesus steps back as Mary and Martha rush forward, greeting their brother with joyful embraces, while the crowd just look on, taking it in with awe and with renewed belief in their faces. Are you Mary or Martha? Do you trust Jesus, even when life seems to be going awry? Trust me, I know what I'm doing, says Jesus. How quickly might you, or might I, be inclined to cry? Are you Thomas or Peter? Do you trust Jesus? Do you trust him to act in the right time or place? Trust me, I know what I'm doing, says Jesus, but you might be too quick to argue your case.
But Lord, how can I trust you in my life? I thought I knew where I was heading and why. The door has closed, the direction has changed. You've left me here, so it seems, high and dry.
Trust me, I know what I'm doing, says Jesus. Trust me and pray about each little thing in your life. Trust me, I know what I'm doing, says Jesus. Remember this always in joy, fear, and strife. Trust me, I know what I'm doing, says Jesus. Trust me and pray about each little thing in your life. Trust me, I know what I'm doing, says Jesus. Remember this always in joy, fear and strife. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that even in the struggles and pain and loss, we know that we can put our trust in you. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's important, isn't it, that as a church community, we can talk about the hard stuff of life, the stuff that is the painful stuff, the difficult things, about loss and grief and bereavement. And to talk about it to everybody of all ages, whether you are a babe in arms or a nonagenarian. The one fact of life is death. And the other fact of life is the fact that we will, through it, have losses that we have to bear. And that is what we are thinking about in this season today. And this time and this opportunity to remember is a powerful gift. Often we talk about memory being one of the powerful gifts of God, that we can think about those we have loved, those we have lost, and those that we have enjoyed time with. And as Margaret said, this opportunity to remember is not just about the people that we may have lost, not just about bereavement. It can be about other losses, like relationship breakdowns, or losses about things that we had dreamed and hoped we might have, relationships or babies unborn or careers or other things that might matter to us, friendships that have gone, whether we are four or five when people move away or whether they're people whose relationships that we have broken down with over the years. But it gives us this opportunity to consider what these losses or sadness have in our lives. We heard Alex and Gwyn read from the Song of Songs today. For love is as strong as death, passion fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, a raging flame. And many waters cannot quench love, and neither can floods drown it. Because the pain of loss is, after all, the other side of loving, isn't it? And feeling sad is a natural and inevitable part of having to say goodbye to someone we love who has died, or having to let go of the people or places or dreams or ways of life that we would like to hold on to but can't. Often when we remember, we think about those who are sick, sick that we know in our own lives, people who could be close to us or friends or family. Sometimes those people are on a journey where we know that this illness is not going to be healed and isn't going to get better, and that they are going to die before we and they are ready. And that in itself is a loss of the future and of the dreams we had hoped that we would enjoy with them. And that in itself is pain. And bereavement and loss can take many forms. And many of us are carrying this and are weighed down by this burden of sadness that we are carrying. And so having the opportunity to do acts of remembrance and memory can help us to remember the things that we need to let go of and to offer them to Christ. Let's be honest, being a Christian doesn't mean that the hard realities of life won't happen to us. We're not in some protective bubble that means we're all going to be okay and nothing's going to touch us. In fact, we heard in our own dramatic reading, didn't we, here of Lazarus, how vividly described the death of Jesus' friend has been. And it really moved him to the depths of his humanity when he encounters the family and friends of the dead man grieving and weeping bitterly. While he was still on the outskirts of the village where they lived, Jesus had already declared in this story that he was the source of eternal life. What a contrast to what we heard. And when he is drawing nearer, he's encountering that rawness of human grief and loss and the inevitability of painful things. And we are told that Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. We know that Jesus wept at the death of his friend, and he was moved by the sisters, Martha and Mary's, grief. Now, we are fortunate and we are blessed by the fact that we do have this assurance of eternal life. But that still doesn't mean that we will be facing the reality of the pain and the joys of being human and the losses that we experience in life. So engaging with death and loss and the ultimate destiny throws a searchlight on what we really think. It's quite hard, isn't it, to be sitting here thinking about that, what we think and what we believe and what really matters. And it requires us to be true to ourselves and what is in our hearts and in our minds. We need to be as honest as possible about our own attitude to death and loss and our beliefs and our doubts about what might come next. And it's honesty together with the trust in Jesus that matters and helps us. We're really in good company. When you look at the Bible, when you look at this subject, the Apostle Paul, when he writes in his letter to Corinthians, says, "It is only when we die that all will be revealed and we will understand fully." Because let's face it, when we are in that difficult grieving place, we don't really understand what this is all about. And sometimes it feels really unfair. So at the heart of death lies this glorious mystery that human beings just can't really fully comprehend. And what we do need to have is a genuine hope and trust in Jesus in the face of death and grief and loss. And the capacity to be alongside each other and people that we meet as we explore this and the uncertainty around this. After all, this is the life of faith and trust in the God of love, the God of compassion, and the mercy of Jesus, that we will have abundant life, as we hear in John. We are blessed that the gospel, the power of the gospel, is this assurance that even if we feel that humans and life sometime has let us down, that God is with us as a loving parent and as a friend and as our champion. And God knows what it feels like to hurt, that raw hurt. I always think about this when I also am struggling with that sort of pain of loss, of that time when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples, when they thought they were going to die and he was asleep. And he says to them, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." It's almost as we might say to a child or to a distressed friend or to someone we know who is hurting, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Not "do not feel the pain," not "I can take it away," but "do not be afraid. Trust me, I am with you." And when we are there with our friends and the people we love like that, we are being like God. We are being God's instruments. So for me, when I think about the fact that in life's hard journey, this is the most important message that we need to take, is that we need to trust Jesus. We need to trust that God is alongside us and that God loves us unconditionally and will always be there for us. And that everything rests on this and everything that we do should point to this, however we are feeling, and we should offer that up. As it says in Romans 8, 38 to 39, "Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen.